We're going back to the text that we started, or that we used rather, on last week. This is a part two of the lesson that we shared with you on last week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. We're talking about great benefits of the Scripture. Great benefits of the Scripture. Again, the Bible says, "And from a child, thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We defined last week the word benefit, the definition of that word that fits what we are talking about pertaining to the Scripture, which says that it means anything contributing to an improvement in condition or to give an advantage or to help. And again, when we think of the Scriptures, that's exactly what the Scriptures do for us. Again, mankind fell in the garden by means of transgression and found himself in an awful condition. He placed himself at a great disadvantage of the security of his soul. He became separated from God. And it is only through the Scriptures that we find the means to help or to improve man's condition, for him again to get the advantage, not again within himself, but through the grace of God, of being able to be back in fellowship with God. Therefore, certainly his condition can be greatly improved. And again, that is the good news of the gospel. When we submit ourselves to the Lord's will, then we are able to reap great benefits because of what the Scriptures contain. We talked about three benefits last week. One being the Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. Another being that they provide us with everything that we need to be all that God wants us to be. And the third one, they enable us to stand approved unto God. I want to add a few more benefits to this lesson or this subject tonight. And the lesson will be ours to help us along the way. Another great benefit is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. After Paul had gave instruction to the Ephesian elders to take heed to themselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers, and to feed the church of God. And he goes on and says, "For I know that after my departure, grievous wolves are going to enter in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men lead away disciples after them." But then near the conclusion of his words to them, in verse number 32, he says this, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Let's just stop at that verse right at that point. Another great benefit of the word of God is that they are able, that is the Scriptures, they are able to build us up. To build up, or to be built up, is to be established. It is to be fortified. It is to be strengthened. The Word of God will establish us. It will fortify us. It will strengthen us. Even as Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we talk about being established, when we talk about being fortified, when we talk about being strengthened, all of this is available to us because the Word of God is dependable. If God's word were not dependable, we certainly could not be established in it. We certainly could not be fortified with it. We certainly could not be strengthened. Because if it were not dependable, then it would be like this. We could depend on it today, but tomorrow we wouldn't know. But thank God it is dependable. It is dependable because it will be with us forever. It will never pass away. The Bible says in Mark chapter 13 and verse number 31, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I'm thankful tonight. I know you're thankful this evening that God's word will never pass away, that God's word will always be there for us to establish us in the faith. Again, so that as Ephesians 4:14 says, so that we don't have to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Just stand on God's word and that'll be enough. Trust in God's word and it will keep us strong. It will keep us fortified against the enemy, which is Satan. You remember how Jesus stood against the enemy, don't you? He stood on God's word. Every time the temptation was given to him, he says, it is written. He relied upon the fortification that comes from God's word. We tonight need to rely upon God's word so we can depend upon it because it will never pass away. We can depend upon it to be right, to be true, as we said this morning, because it has been already settled in heaven, not for a while, but forever. Psalms 119, verse 89, a familiar passage, I'm sure, to us. What the Bible says there, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. As somebody said, and some of the preachers said of old, the Lord says it, and I believe it. We ought to believe it if the Lord says it, because it has been settled in heaven. It's not going to change. It was true from the beginning. Every one of his righteous judgments, the Bible says, they are true. It's settled in heaven. It won't change because it came from an unchanging God. If God changed, then perhaps his word would change. But God does not change. He declared that through the mouth of Malachi in the long ago, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Are you glad this evening? Are you thankful this evening that we serve a God who changes not? I change my mind sometimes. You change your mind sometimes. But God is a God who does not change. Whatever he says, he's going to keep it, keep his word. So we can depend upon it. No wonder we can be established. No wonder we can have a sure foundation or a sure footing in God's word. No wonder we can stand against Satan. No wonder we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His word, the scripture, is able, Paul says, to build you up, to give you the strength that you need, to keep you going on. Therefore, the word of God gives us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Not only can we be strong today, but we have hope for tomorrow. Why? Again, because God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. So I'm so thankful tonight that one great benefit or another great benefit that I derive from the Word of God is that it's able to build us up. Now, again, we got to let it build us up through our faith in it. It's all about our faith, how we trust in the Word of God. As we continue to read in verse number 32, not only that Paul says is able to build you up, but he says, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So the scriptures then gives us another benefit. They give us the assurance of an inheritance. You ever been promised something and then was disappointed because it didn't happen? God has promised us heaven. Again, if we are faithful to the Lord, heaven is going to happen, if I can say it like that. It's going to happen for us. The scriptures has given us assurance of an inheritance in heaven. To be assured of something means to have no doubt that that thing will be or that it will come to pass. So we don't have to go through life then wondering, will it happen? It will happen. It will come to pass. We are assured that it will happen because God is faithful to His Word. Again, tonight, I'm thankful, and I know you're thankful, that God is faithful to His Word. He's faithful. The Hebrew writers, as he encouraged the Hebrew Christians in his day and time in the first century who were wavering in their faith, almost ready to give up on Christ, their Savior, their Redeemer, had this to say to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse number 19. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having that high priest over the house of God, let us, he says, draw near with what? With a true heart, in full assurance, not half-heartedly, but full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In verse 23, he says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Stop wavering, he's saying to the Hebrew Christians. Stop doubting. But hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. And he gives them every reason in the world to hold fast. He says, why? For he is faithful, that promise. God has promised you something, he says, and God is faithful. But in order to get it, you got to hold fast. I'm saying to us tonight, church, we got to hold fast. Again, no matter what comes in our lives, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the temptations are, no matter what the trials are in our lives, we got to hold fast because God is faithful. God has something waiting for us, and it's called heaven, or it's our inheritance. And that inheritance, nobody can take it away from us, but we can lose it. Nobody can take it away from us because we are being preserved, if you will. Our inheritance is being preserved, is being kept by the power of God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 beginning, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, he says, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. We have sung a song here and hadn't sung it in a long time, where the roses never fade. Y'all remember that? I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Well, this is the idea, is that the roses, as it were. Now, we know the Bible doesn't teach that there are roses there, but the picture that I'm trying to make is that the roses will always be beautiful. They will never fade. They will never droop. They will always be beautiful, spiritually speaking. So he says here that that inheritance that's undefiled and that fadeth not away is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, how? By the power of God through faith. Remember I said earlier, it's all about our faith. It's being kept for us. It's being reserved for us. But if we are not faithful to it, we're going to miss it. It's kept by the power of God through faith. That's why Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, after he talked about thou being cast in prison and tried for 10 days, you're going to have these tribulations here. But he says, be faithful, how long? Unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. That inheritance was waiting for him, but it's being kept, how? By God, the power of God, through faith. God has it there, but our faith is a thing that will get us to it. Just like when they started from Egyptian bondage, the land was waiting there for them. But many of them didn't make it. Why? Because they failed, the Bible says, because of unbelief. Their faith was not strong enough. Their faith did not sustain them. They began to doubt and to waver along the way and murmur and complain. They didn't get there. Only two, as we know, that were over 20 years of age made it there. So I'm saying that, yes, that inheritance is waiting for us. It's kept, or being kept by the power of God, but it's through faith. We've got to be faithful. We've got to remain faithful. So the Word of God then provides us with the benefit of being built up. It provides us with the benefit of being assured of the inheritance that is waiting for us. But also there is something else that I want to share with you before I close. Romans 15, verses 3 and 4. Paul said this to the church at Rome. He says, for even Christ Jesus, or even Christ, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And then he says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. You know what he's talking about there? He had just talked about, for as it is written, or but it is written. Where was this written? It was written in the scriptures. When you go back to the scriptures, you'll find what he said was written there. So he's talking about the scriptures. So he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for what? Our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So the scriptures then provides us with comfort and hope. Thank God tonight for the comfort and the hope that we have from the scriptures. Our God, the Bible declares him to be the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You want comfort? Let God give you the comfort. Yes, we can comfort one another to a point, but nobody can comfort us like God. God is the God of all comfort. The Bible says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. So how did we get that comfort from? The scriptures. We get it from God, but if it were not for the scriptures, we wouldn't know to look to God for it. Because the scriptures tells us that that's where all the comfort comes from. Thank God for that benefit that he has placed in the scriptures to know that he is the God of all comfort. And so I say to us tonight that when we need comfort, look to God. God will give us the comfort. Even when Jesus was about to leave his apostles, as he was teaching them in John chapter 14, and we're so familiar with this passage, when he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be just so upset. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Anybody here this evening want to go where Jesus is? It's a comforting thing to know that he is preparing a place that we can come and go where he is. The scriptures tells us that. The scriptures tells us, as Jesus gives that great invitation, as we sometimes term it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a comforting thing to know that Jesus will give us rest. God, then, that God who is the God of all comfort, the psalmist describes him as our refuge and our strength. Psalm 46, the Bible says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As I talked even yesterday at the funeral, even right now, God is present to help us. We don't have to wait until next year or next week. God is present right now to help us and to comfort us. So he says, a very present help in trouble. Because he is a present help in trouble, the psalmist says, therefore, because of this, for this reason, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, he says, basically, I don't care what happened. We're not going to be fearful. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roll and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, because there is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Those are comforting passages to me. The scriptures provides us with the comfort. Hebrews 13:5. Tells us again that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Trust in him. Do his will. And he will always be by our side. And then when Paul finished talking about the dead that had gone on, that the Thessalonian Christians were anxious over, and he tells them, of course, that when Jesus comes, that they're going to be resurrected. Those of us who are alive, he says, and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the cloud and ever be with the Lord. And he says this in verse 18. Wherefore, for this reason, comfort one another with these words. How would we know how to comfort one another with these words if it weren't in the scripture? We'd be at a loss. But because it's written in the scriptures, Paul says, you can take what I said to you and comfort one another. Thank God then for the comfort and the hope that's in the scriptures. Of course, again, we only reap these benefits if we truly trust his word. That means that we believe it and we obey it. As I close tonight, Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. He says, blessed, happy is the man that do what? Trusteth in the Lord. and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. All this happens to the person that trusteth, that keep on trusting in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So tonight, as I close, because of the great benefits that we get from the scriptures, we ought to be so thankful to our God. You see, he could have left us to try to figure it all out on our own when man messed up in the garden. But you see, that would have, if we had tried to, man had tried to figure it out on his own, it would have left man in a worse shape than he was already in, because he couldn't figure it out on his own. So it ought to provoke our mindset then tonight, as we think of these wonderful benefits that we find in the scriptures, it ought to provoke us to have the same mindset that the psalmist had when he said in Psalms 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" God has given us great benefits in his word. Psalm 16, verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us daily with benefits." And of course, he's talking about physical benefits, but I want us to look at it in the term of the spiritual benefits that we get from God's word. Every time we pick up God's word and read it, he's offering us benefits. Trust in what I've said. Obey what I've said, and you'll enjoy the fruit thereof. And eternally, you'll be able to live with me. Thank God for the benefits that we have in his word. All scripture given by the inspiration of God, and it's suitable for everything that God wants us to know and everything God wants us to do to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Are you appreciative? Are you thankful of the benefits of the scripture? If we are, then we ought to love the scripture. Love it so much until we just study it over and over. It's a book that is not dead. It's a book that's rich. Every time you pick it up and look at it from the eyes of faith, the more and more it ought to mean to you, because it came from God, a God who loved us, a God who sent his son to die for us, and a God who is waiting for us to come to heaven if we just keep the faith. So I say to us tonight, thank God for the benefits and keep the faith so one day we can see his face in peace. If you're here tonight, you're subject to the call of the gospel. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come. If you have obeyed the gospel, somehow you're erring along the way, realize that you're putting yourself in a terrible condition unless you repent. So turn away from whatever that error is. Come back to God. If you need to confess, why not do that? Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, would you come to the Lord? Come right now while we stand and while we sing.